All right, guys, we are back for another episode for Go Digger. We miss y'all a little bit. What about you, Jess?
Yeah, I miss them just a little.
All right, y'all, we're back. This is Ty and
Jess here.
And we are bringing you another episode of what we're talking about today.
We are talking about
being the strong friend. We know that most people have went through this before. So, you know, we had a discussion recently about just basically what it means to be a strong friend and just things we experience in life when you have to feel like you feel that, not really a void, but that place as a strong friend. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk to you about some experiences and things we dealt with, and hopefully it can be encouraging to you guys sometimes when you have to be that strong friend.
Yeah. So when you're the strong friend, when you're strong in anything, you get tired.
Yes. Okay. So, that leads us right into it, you know. You're thinking about how, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on.
What's the word?
Because you said tired. So exhausted, fatigue, all that. I mean, like, all that comes, I think it comes from a place when you know, like, you kind of hit a wall. And you literally feel like you have nothing left to give. You know? You can't give, you can't take. Well, maybe you can take, but.
You can't give.
Right.
Anymore.
You definitely
You're
can't
depleted.
Give.
Depleted.
Right.
Depleted is the word.
And I think that's important to know. Like, you have to recognize those signs that happens when you feel like you get to that place of a burnout. And then, I know for me, for instance, it's like, I think, I don't know if it's a thing of being like a leader. Do you feel like sometimes as a leader or somebody, that sometimes you exert or exhibit those qualities as a strong friend sometimes?
Yeah, and people naturally cling to you because they see that in you, you know?
That is true. And, you know, at one point, I didn't see this in myself. Like, you know, because I'm kind of like always random with a lot of things, or like I kind of just go for it. Not really having like any fear or anything. It's just kind of like, oh, you see something or you have this idea or this vision and you just kind of run with it. And I noticed that over the last few years, people are more drawn to that in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because of leadership or is it like a fearlessness.
I don't know.
That's a good one though. Kind of got to research and kind of figure out
how to hone in on that.
Yeah. Well, why you my friend then? I just put Jessica on the spot.
Okay, well, why you put me on the spot? Well, for starters, I mean, we go back to college, and I think...
Oh, we didn't even give people this background.
In our...
We're going to have to get back to that.
Well, I guess.
Here we go.
Okay, so, in our college studies, I guess we were somewhat similar in terms of our work ethic and how we were last minute. We were smart and always prepared, but we were also just kind of spontaneous and flying by the seat.
Right.
And I think that was like the natural click for us. It was more like, okay, did you do your research project?
Right.
Did you start yours yet? Oh, no, I'm going to start mine tonight.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of like went from there. And then as we grew career-wise, you know, we started working enjoying some of the same things, and then there it was.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny because me and Jess go back to high school, and college. We would have went way back.
Yeah.
We go back to college days, and we went to Clayton State University. But like she said, I think that really kind of like laid the foundation because we were like so similar in that way. But she still didn't answer the question, but it's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, why am I your friend?
She just
because you are a leader. You are someone that, you know, gives it to you straight with no chaser. So you're very transparent. You're very honest. You're very open-minded. You're spiritually grounded. You know how to push the right buttons and the wrong ones. You know how to motivate and inspire. I mean, you just have all of the same qualities that I see in myself. And when you have friends, you know, that's important.
Yeah.
In your friend circle.
And you kind of hit the nail on the head because it's like, dang, I feel like we are a reflection of each other a lot of times. And I think that's important sometimes when you think about having these friendships about, you know, just because you want to see yourself in other people in a sense, not to say fully, but some things that you feel like are important that you want somebody else to see or have those important qualities and, you know, morals, values, characteristics type thing. And I think that's very powerful.
At the end of the day.
Thanks, friend.
You're welcome. But when you think about why your friend is your friend or why your best friend is your best friend, it's usually because of some of those same similarities and
right
like that. You rarely are friends with someone that's the total opposite of you. Like if you say, I love to travel and your best friend hates to travel,
yeah,
then that's more than likely not your best friend. Or if you like, I like to go out and have fun and your best friend is a homebody,
mm-hmm.
they are not your best friend. They're just your friend.
Yeah.
So.
And that's true because I know we talked about this in the prior episode when we talked about having like those different groups mm-hmm. and how friend important it is.
Yeah,
I'm still learning that because it's still
a hard time adjusting too. I think that you don't really understand that it's okay to outgrow friends.
Yeah,
it's okay to still be their friend at a distance.
And I think too because I always want to see people like get along. I feel like I'm always that person in the midst.
You're the glue.
Yes, the glue for my friendships.
You don't have to.
I don't know why, but I always feel like that's important because I want to see everybody get along and we go do things and travel. Well, and
you can't be
fun.
A peacemaker.
I know. Why am I a peacemaker? Y'all, I really think it's like an innate thing because I honestly think because going back to childhood, it's kind of like what I saw. Like my mom was just that person, so she's somebody I look up to. So there we have it. I just figured it out. I got to the root.
Okay, well, that's good.
This is
therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah. So let's think about an experience that you had where you felt like you always felt like you had to step up to be the strong friend. What happened in that situation?
I feel like that now, even this week.
Okay,
know,
come on, let's talk about it.
Being the strong friend, one of my friends called me and was like, you know, I just had a bad day, and I'm just like, well, did you even consider my day first before you dump all this on me?
Yeah.
And
that wasn't me.
She really couldn't like pinpoint what was going on or what was happening, which was fine. You know, some days we have those days. No, I'm not talking about you.
I said what's in me.
But you just threw me off.
I'm sorry.
So she really couldn't really figure out what it was. And, you know, it was hard for me to try to help her figure it out and maneuver through that too. In addition to dealing with my own issues and things for the week.
Yeah.
And then I had another friend. A couple of days later, I called them to check on them, and it was kind of like the same scenario. So, what do? I just take a step back and just stop.
Yeah.
And realize that their problems are not my problems, mm-hmm. and I can't bear the weight of all of that.
Right.
Know? And my own problems too. So just learn how to remove it. That's all. You can still be the strong friend, take it all in, and learn how to remove it. But this week, what I did stop doing is answering the phone for people that I feel is just depleting my energy in the morning. In the morning.
Ooh, like early.
Yes, like on my way to work in the morning. Yes, so I have one person that. No, it's them. But
it's all good. We've been transparent.
They call me in the morning and just to tell me about just different things. And I'm just like, uh-uh. In the morning, I try to listen to my gospel and my word on my way to work and just have some me time.
Look at the devil.
And this week, I just said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
My ears are closed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to be careful, though, what you feed your spirit, especially in earlier parts of the day. Because I think I was reading something about how open your spirit is in the morning, like when you start your day. So when you get into those spaces and those I think they're like energy fields, and how I guess your spirit can get off track when you are open to so much negativity, because you really set the tone for your day in the morning. Like if you start your day off in prayer, meditation, or whatever have you, whatever ritual you do to have a productive day, and somebody interrupts that with some type of negativity, I think sometimes they just kind of throw you off.
It does. I've been doing that for this month, just challenging myself to get up at 6 in the morning, meditate and work out, listen to gospel music and a podcast, and my days have been much better.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's true, though. It's just all about what you put out there. So I think for me, what my experience is, it's kind of like similar to yours, is for what I do as a living anyway, as a health coach, because we take on so much energy from everybody else that you have to be mindful of like what you're taking in. So after those days when you're coaching all day, then you still have to go home, be the friend, be the sister, be the whatever to everybody else. It kind of can throw you off. So when we talk about being a strong friend, I think it's also important to understand the balance of how to maneuver through that. Because, you know, like they said, sometimes, you know, we all fight in a battle that you know nothing of. And yes, I have friends who know some of the things, but not everything. So it's kind of hard when you're trying to explain it sometimes, but you don't even know sometimes what be wrong with you.
That is true.
And I hate those moments because I really try to investigate, like, get to the root, like, why am I feeling this way? What's really going on?
There's
what happened?
A number of things that have you feeling that way. But you just made me think, if you are not the strong friend and you are perhaps the weak friend, always check in with that strong friend and see if it's a good time to talk to them.
Yeah, that is
good. Or a
good
time to dump all that on them because, I mean, like, it's okay to be the weak friend, but I just feel like timing is important. You know, because that person could either minimize or maximize how you're feeling at the time just based off whatever they may be going through.
Right. That is true, too,
always
because I'm definitely, I learned that, in, I think, right before therapy, it was kind of like you get to the place where you don't want to just dump all your problems on the next person. You have to ask, is this a good time for you? If it's not, you know, we can always talk later, or, you know, or even sometimes don't talk to people. I think learning how to be facing on and be with yourself is also kind of therapeutic in itself, you know. I think that's also exhibiting some strong traits as a strong friend, because I noticed one thing that I do. Yeah, like, I write out stuff. Like, sometimes I can't say everything I want to in my head, but I notice if I write it out, it just comes out better. Or I just feel better because it's out in a sense, but it's like things I had to get out of my head, you know?
Yeah, I guess for me, and this will go back to my childhood, but I don't trust paper.
What happened? What's your why?
My mom came across like a bad joke that I had on paper.
Yeah.
And it was probably very inappropriate. It was talking about
how old were you?
I was like in the third grade.
And you writing bad jokes in third
grade? No, it was a joke that someone else had told me. And so we wrote it down and passed it around. But anyway, it was just something about a snake in the grass. And my mom just kept questioning me about, like, what does this mean and what is it and what is it? So I just remember, like, paper is just not safe. So it's just something in me that I don't feel good about writing it down.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. I think that could be helpful.
But, you know, you bring in those childhood experiences, and I think sometimes you think back to what happened. It kind of makes you fearful, or you're kind of more...
Yeah, those things shape you. Though.
Yeah. So that's important. That's why I say, let's watch.
I would rather type it into my phone or something like that.
I can say I had a bit of a privacy. I had some privacy. Like, you know, growing up, I kind of had, like, the little Dear Diary things and locks on them. I don't think, or at least I hope my mom wasn't snooping. I don't know if she actually snooped.
I think this was like in some laundry. She really wasn't snooping, but it was just like,
out there,
that scarred me for a long time. Like,
he was like, how did you explain, like, what's a snake in the grass? Oh my God.
I can't even remember. I just think I just started crying because they're like, I already knew that it was bad. And I knew that my mama, she wasn't snooping. She understood what it was talking about.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine that. but that's good though. I think like you said, when you learn from that, it shapes you in your adult life. So, what do you think about like having a tribe of people that's more reflective of you in a sense? Like just again, being surrounded by people that kind of emulate what you're trying to accomplish. And again, just kind of being around that positive force in a sense.
I think that it can catapult you in the right direction and take you way farther than what you would ever think and dream of. I look at that kind of like a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people that are always going in the same direction or trying to help you and trying to push you, you're continuously going up.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you have those people that are around you that's constantly trying to pull you down, you're going nowhere.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that that's really important, but I think at this point in life, it's hard to find. It's hard to find genuine, true people who are reflective of you.
That is so real.
Once you leave spaces like college and high school, you have friends in your workplace who are like-minded, but you don't really know them outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard.
Why do you feel like it became so difficult, though? Like, cause I know in college I felt like that I kept hearing a saying that you find your lifelong friends in college. Like,
I've heard that, too.
I don't know if I say friends, but maybe one or two.
Maybe one.
Maybe one or two people that I can say, like, are people that I feel like are my lifelong friends.
I'm not sure why college is that level that you usually find that out, but I guess because you've gone through a lot of growing experiences and growing pains, and you can really kind of see where a person is going in college. As opposed to high school, it's like we all are dreaming and we all are hopeful about our future, but you still don't really know. So,
That's just interesting, though, to that, because, you know, so much does happen between, like, from your high school years to your college years, and then after college, just sometimes people just go separate directions, you know, different directions, of course, you know, especially when, you know, you choose a different majors, people move in, developing families, so I get that.
Do you feel like you're in your own friend circle, that you have someone else that's, like, the strong friend?
Oh, yeah. I will say that I've been blessed to be surrounded by, like, my childhood friends that, that I will say that's been the strong friends, especially when those days it's kind of like, you know, if I'm MIA and they notice it, it's good that we have our group chats and stuff. We do try to do our, you know, virtual hangouts and stuff too. But for them to kind of know, like, okay, I haven't heard from Ty, what's going on, checking in, or, you know, calling and see what's going on. So, yeah, I would say sometimes I'm not always the one, so it's important that others can see that too, like somebody else can step in a gap.
So, and I hate to put you on the spot here, but what's like the commonality or the reflective part about those friendships at this point in life? Because I feel like for my high school friends, none of them really reflect who I am now. Even my close, well, maybe one.
I think for our commonality is the fact that we kind of grew up the same way.
Okay.
And I think that what kept us together, because we kind of know what life is like, you know, growing up in the hood in a sense, you know what it's like to have to walk to school or, you know, just kind of like those struggles kind of,
so
you know.
Struggle is the connecting point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then too, not just struggles, but I mean, that kind of like one of the things, but because we still like the same type of things, we're, you know, go-getters in our own different ways, but we always have a vision for our future and know that we want better. Because I think when you grow up in a way like that, it kind of pushes you. Some people don't get that. They don't get that vision outside of the hood or outside where they grew up from.
Right.
So that was shaping for us because it was like we knew it was something outside of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I think that that kind of shapes the mold for those particular friend circles. Like you said, you know, whatever that common piece is. And that's why I feel like I'm so sacred about like protecting that, because I know that like it just depends on which friends and which friend circles, whoever you bring into that, they may not understand. For instance, in your friend circle, someone who was privileged wouldn't understand your friend circle. And that's not somebody that you introduce to the crew and be like, hey y'all, this my friend.
No, I mean, I'll probably do it, y'all.
This
I ain't
my friend from Atlanta. She grew up in Buckhead. And,
but I think one thing about us though, they're never judgy. Like they're not
necessarily judgy.
I get it.
That person might judge them.
Yeah, I get it. And you know, it reminds me of the show Girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And you know how Maya was the hood.
I need to start watching that.
Oh my gosh, I love that show. Maya was like the hood one. Everybody else went to college. Mm-hmm. And it was just like why Tony was like so against Maya and wanted to check her every time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, see, I never had that happen in my girl group, and I'm thankful. They just kind of chill. Everybody do their own thing, mm-hmm. and, you know, they may talk behind your back, though. Mm-hmm. I think those are commonalities that really help mold the group, you know. Mm-hmm. And we can say that's been I don't know too many people can say I've been friends with a certain person for 20-plus years. So we are going on 25, maybe?
Okay.
How old am I? But no, because we've been friends since like middle school, but we became really good friends in high school. One of my friends, we've been friends since like middle school.
Who's your oldest friend?
My oldest friend is Tarika. Shout out to Tarika. We met in church. We probably had to been maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, what is that? Middle school?
No, you're not
elementary. I don't know, y'all. I'm good with numbers. 6 or 7. Because we had this thing called a Sunshine Band. Sunshine Band.
In the first grade.
Girl, I don't even know. It was so long ago. But it's been over 20 years. And she will always tell the story how we met. She said, I stepped on her foot and I looked at her and I didn't say sorry.
A mean encounter.
And I was like, I tell her I'm sorry to this day. And I'm like, Tarika, I'm sorry again for stepping on your shoe. But guess what? It led us to our beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
And I am the godmother of her firstborn, Zanaya. And yeah, we've been rocking forever. And then, you know, Cherry and Jahal, we met middle school. We went to middle school together, became really close after high school. And then from that, it's just been us both most of the time.
So in that friend circle, you're the strong friend.
I would say I am the glue because I'm always the one like, hey guys, let's plan a trip or let's do this. Hey, I'm coming home.
Being
let's
the
get
glue
together.
And the strong friend, I mean, that can be synonymous, but yes. At the same time, it's not.
I don't know. I gotta get that opinion. I feel like I can be at a lot of times, but I know they all exhibit strong friend traits, and this is why I think, again, why my crew is reflective of me, because they are strong in their own right. Like, they're all mothers, you know, and that's strong in its own way, you know. Like, mm-hmm. they experiencing things that I don't experience on a daily, so that already, it feels like when they can show that they can be mothers, wives, whatever, you know, that takes a different, it's just like a different league of its own, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's still making time for your friends and, you know, doing whatever. Mm-hmm.
Smart, you is strong.
You is important.
You is important.
But yeah, but shout out to my girl group. Appreciate y'all. I believe that your tribe does reflect your vibe.
Okay.
So I'm always like, I need to be around. I know we talked about this previously, like how important it is to be, like have those girl times and just be around people that you genuinely love and appreciate. They're around people who feel like sunlight.
That's right. I think that's been the overall goal of Gold Digger.
Yes.
Is to try to, you know, implement that and create a circle and a safe space for like-minded women. But like we said, I mean, it's so hard to come by
mm-hmm.
at this point in life. And I think that even for us, when you think about the girl groups and the girl boss societies that you see, it's like it's hard to trust them. It's hard to, like, be a
yeah.
part of them. Or, you know, really create some value there because you're like, who are they?
Right.
I don't know them. Do we share the same experiences?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the whole getting to know people is challenging. It can feel a little intimidating a little bit because I think, I don't know exactly why is it, but sometimes you look at other groups and you're probably like, they seem to have it together. But really, in actuality, they could be on the same level as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, why do we make these assumptions or judgments? So I have to remember that a lot of times. Right. But it's like, we know we're doing a good thing. We know what we stand for, what our missions are, and what we're trying to do and convey to other women, you know. So I think those are important. But why do you feel like people are intimidated a lot of times, though?
I think that's a societal thing. I think we've discussed this before, but how society put us against each other as women, especially black women. I'm sorry, y'all.
Jessica talking like she's sleepy over here.
But society puts us against each other, I think.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, we're intimidated sometimes when we go into those spaces because we always feel like someone is going to one-up us or seem better than us, or it's always been a competition mm-hmm. when it came down to black women in a public space.
I think that is so true because it's like when you think about all the things that have happened. Remember, it brings me back to that whole thing with Madam C.J. Walker. I don't even know how true that whole thing on Netflix was, but it's kind of like depicting two black women against each other.
Instead of them working together.
Yes! And this is why I'm so big on, like, you know what, girl? If you want to do the same thing I'm doing, do it. That has happened, you know, even with the...
at the table.
Exactly. Because, you know, even with the retreat, how I told you, there was somebody who she attended it and enjoyed it. And I said the purpose of the retreat is to, you know, get people to do things that they love, start their own businesses. I want to be a catapult for whatever it is, you know, you feel like driven to do. And I was just like, and she did her own thing. And I was glad to see, like, hey, do you, girl? So I don't understand that whole having to compete. Like, you know, I feel like you only should compete with yourself.
That's right. Yeah. You're your only competition.
Heck yeah. So, but that's it. No, there's none of that on here. what I was gonna say was, y'all just lost my train of thought. I hate when that happens.
Girl, get it back.
Oh yeah, but we do have plans for the next retreat. We are looking forward to 2021, and even with COVID-19 happening, we're still gonna make it. It's gonna be a more smaller, intimate.
Girl, say even with COVID-19 going away,
exactly right. We're gonna speak those things as if they were. We're putting it in the atmosphere. 2021 is going to be a better year, and we're looking forward to hosting another retreat. It's going to be a little bit more smaller and intimate, so spaces will be limited, but more information will be coming on the retreat. So you guys stay tuned in, check our website out, follow us on social media. You can follow us at goldigher@gmail.com. that's goldigh3r @gmail.com, or follow us on our IG. Hit us up. Let us know any topics you want us to discuss, anything you want to hear. Our IG, same thing, goldigh3r. And we'll be back with another episode. Thank y'all for joining in. This is Ty.
And this is Jess.
All right, we'll be in touch, guys. Alright, y'all, since we're talking about gold digging, forgot to add our jewel for today. Sorry about that. So, look, the jewel for today is the people who are meant to be in your life will always gravitate back towards you, no matter how far they wander. Alright, y'all, so remember that. We'll see you guys in the next podcast.
Alright, holla.
Keep digging.